Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Shani and Bridget from the Warm Inside Glance podcast. Hi.
Hello.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. So Bridget, you want to go first and then Shani?
Sure. I'll talk about Shani. So Shani actually came up with the idea for our podcast. So she's really the real inspiration around here. So we were talking romance over lunch one day, and then I got a call that night, and I'm not gonna lie, it was not a hard sell. And she's also for sure the creative mind behind a lot of our stuff. She does the designs, the edits. She takes care of all of like the new stuff we're coming up with, our new sort of creative ideas going forward. And I'm just here because I talk a lot and talk really fast and read really fast.
That is lies. Okay, let me tell you right now. Bridget is like a freaking whiz with everything. She, like, in her spare time, bosses around big companies, okay? Like, I'm all over the place. If we didn't have Bridget, we would not operate like the well-oiled machine that we do. She can keep a conversation going with anyone, anywhere, anytime. She's super creative. She has a really wicked sense of humor, which like speaks to my soul. And honestly, she always says yes to whatever fuckery is on the table. So in these last couple of years, we've really become like ride or die homies for sure.
Yeah.
So how did you meet?
We met through friends, actually. So Shani is a creator and does a lot of stuff at YouTube. And we were working on a script for her channel to come up with this comedy concept. And a friend of hers is one of my best friends and was like, oh my God, Shani, Bridget should come. She's great. And Shani was like, yeah, bring her. And so I showed up like 8 months pregnant with a giant thing of Chick-fil-A and a milkshake and a Coke and a hamburger and like fries, I mean like, or chicken sandwich rather. And we just like, it was like instant. I mean, I remember she said one thing and we like, our eyes connected. There were two other people in the room with us. And I remember just being like, oh, my soulmate's here. Like, and then I had my baby and Shani loves babies and proceeded to have like pneumonia and horrible coughs on it. This is like a couple years ago, not for COVID. For like 5 months, so she didn't see the kid forever. And then when she finally made it back over, that is when we sort of immediately became best friends and never really looked back from there.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Bridget, because like I definitely really remember meeting you and you said something that was super practical. My brain's super practical and her brain is super practical. She said something super practical and I was like,
I know. Oh, so good.
I love it. So let's talk about your podcast. Tell us all about it. Tell us what is the podcast about and what inspired you to get started.
Absolutely. So on Romance at a Glance, we celebrate and review all the genres of romance novels. And we've been really working hard on breaking them up into seasons or ideas. So we just finished season 3, which was 10 contemporary romance novels.
And before that was season 2, The Black Dagger Brotherhood, which we both are huge fans of.
And then we did season 1, which I quite honestly did not have a theme because it was our first season. And it was kind of a mashup of like, we want to do a romance podcast. So some of our favorite authors, some new books. We had gone to a panel. So we did some new authors we met on a panel.
And we're about to get into season 4, which is historicals, which is like my thing, you know? So I'm so excited for this. And Bridget has really given me like leeway. She's like, look, this is your season, Shani.
Carte blanche. You like, do you, Shani.
Do what you want, you know? So she's been really supportive of my habit.
I love it. So, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, season 5, we're doing a holiday mashup, which is what I'm really excited about, because then we could do the paranormals for October. Then we can get into, like, the military. I love military books, cowboy books for Thanksgiving, and then round it out with some sweet Christmas feels.
It's funny because, like, our podcast, I don't know what we were thinking it was going to be when we started, but, like, it's hella fun to do it. We get into like the most nitty gritty of real life romance and relationship and sex, like, and we just crack each other up. Like, I think we just sit there and laugh so much while we do it. And I don't know that we intended initially for us to talk about romance and for us to immediately relate it to like real life.
Mm-hmm. And also spontaneous singing. Funny anecdotes. And one of our big things is like 1,000% honest reviews, for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Because we've been lied to from Goodreads like so many times that we were just like, you know what? Nobody should go down the rabbit hole of a bad book because of our review. Let me tell you right now. And we've been called savages. I'm just going to say it. We've been called savages.
By an author. She's like, you guys are savage. And we were like, thank you. That's so nice of you to say.
That's the sweetest thing ever. You know, we also wanted to try and try out new authors, experience new authors, indie authors especially, different pairings of characters that actually reflect the world that we live in, different genres, different tropes, and really expand our reading landscape, not just kind of stick to what's put in front of us.
Yeah, like going along with that, trying to expose people to maybe books they wouldn't have looked at or authors they wouldn't have looked at, and just break sort of that cycle of only certain books getting exposure, and also warn them away from books that aren't good, because I think that, you know, in our past season, we had a couple books that people were like, this is a 5-star book, this is a 5-star book, you have to read it, and we read it, and we were like, this book is terrible, how dare you do this to us? So that's a big thing.
So now we've actually really been digging into our community for book recommendations, and for authors that we may not know about, and I think that's where, like, a lot of gold comes from.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't always work out, but... We've discovered some gems.
So which hidden gems have you discovered?
Well, in our first season, we got really lucky. So we went to a panel in LA and happened to meet Scarlett Peckham. She's amazing. Like, she was an indie author. So we read The Duke I Tempted and The Earl I Ruined in season one. And, I mean, historical meets kink. We were going to tell you this is one of our recommendations later, but, like, it was such a perfect example of, like, we probably never would have stumbled upon her if it wasn't for this panel. And we were like, well, everyone should read that book because it's just a great book. I mean, 5 stars all around, start to finish, no parts where we were like, this book, ooh, this is iffy. Like, it was just great. So that was, like, one where we just, I mean, got lucky, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. We got lucky.
So what do you hope your listeners get from listening to your show?
You know, I hope that they really get, like we said, honest reviews, but they get, like, some real-world application of what's in romance. Because it can be really great, and it also can be problematic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, like, I want everybody to always come to our podcast and think, like, oh, these are like my sisters. These are my best friends giving me the best advice ever. And it's funny because it really is all inspired by the stories. We hear things that happen in the story and we're like, oh my gosh, that sounds so sexy in a story. But in real life, guys, we want you to know that this is not acceptable behavior. Like,
yeah, like in real life, there needs to be lube if you're doing anal. Like, that's a fact. And you read it in books all the time and there's no preparation. It's like, we're in books, like, that's fine, all well and good in a book. But, like, in real life, we want you to know that that is a process, that is a conversation. And so we're kind of hoping almost to be like, you know, like the friends that you would cackle with over the beverage of your choice and be like, oh my God, did you hear that sexy thing? Or, oh, I was kind of interested in this, but you're maybe a little embarrassed to talk about it. Like, we want to be the people that you don't need to be embarrassed. Like, we'll talk about the embarrassing things and we're not embarrassed. Yeah. And you should, you know, get it out there.
This is like the podcast I wish I had, like, when I was in high school, when I was reading romance, because I actually believed when I read romance, like, oh, this is how you had sex, and this is how you dealt with relationships, because I had zero sexual education, and my parents do not display affection in front of us. I think I might have seen my parents peck each other on the cheek one time in my entire life. So everything that I learned about love and romance came from romance novels, which, let me tell you, that's problematic.
Yeah, like, and I feel like I had sex education, but I wish that I had known, or like that people were more open to talking about, like, any desire or kink or longing that you have is perfectly normal and natural, as long as you approach it in like a healthy manner, a safe manner, you know, with a partner who's down to clown with you. Like, it's okay to explore those things. It's good to feel those things. And you don't have to like feel bad for, you know, having a high sex drive or feel bad for wanting certain things that other people might consider like, quote unquote, like weird or out of the box or whatever.
Yeah. We don't believe in yucking anyone's yum. And if you like it, we love it for you. Like, that's it, you know?
Yeah. So.
So you both read romance. When did you start reading romance? I think Bridget first and then Shani.
I started in high school with Tara Jansson and Suzanne Brockman. My sister was reading and handed a book over and was like, you're going to like this. And then I read the entire series. This is a theme in my life. Someone will hand me one book and then I'll read like every book that author has ever published. So I read all of their books and I was sold. I was into it.
That is so true, Bridget, because we might talk about one author and then like a day goes by and Bridget's like, so I read the entire series. And I'm like, wait, what? When? How?
I know. It's like, I have two children under two. When am I reading all these books?
I have no children and I cannot figure out. Bridget does way more in her day than I do. And I can't figure out how, because she definitely has two children and a whole husband. You know what I'm saying?
I do have a whole, not a half husband, I got a whole one. He needs all the love.
So, let's see, when I started reading romance, I was hiding from bullies in my 7th grade library, and I found a Danielle Steele novel. So I was definitely super young, and that book should not have been in my library. But that's definitely what, that's when I... that's when I started.
I love it. And so, and, let's talk about romance tropes. What are your favorite romance tropes? And what books do you recommend within the trope?
Ooh, okay, romance tropes. Well, mating bond in paranormal is probably Bridget and I's number one trope. We eat that shit.
Love it. Catnip. I will read any book that has a mating bond for the following reasons. Anything that is problematic about a human man doing something, there's a mating bond, I'm like, well, I can just ignore all the chauvinistic shit that I wouldn't accept in a human. I can ignore like kidnapping. I can ignore basically anything, as long as it's like, well, it's the other half of her soul, she's got to be with him for her to be happy too. Soul. I'm so sold on it. It just like immediately allows me to separate reality and just go purely into like, I don't have to be worried about anything or concerned because everything will be okay because they're mated together. It's fate. They have to be together. That's it for me.
For me, like that primal element. So like I came out on our podcast as a kinky person, and one of the things that's in my kink is like primal play. And so it's like an energy play, it's an animalistic energy play. So in mating bonds, that's all, you get that all day. That's just like, it hits you like in your lizard brain, somewhere where you like, you're just like, must have this now, or whatever.
So which books can fit into that category? As someone who's like, trying paranormal, trying a little bit mating bonds, a bit of mates, but unsure about it.
I mean, definitely the Black Dagger Brotherhood, which we did for season 2. Mm-hmm. One that I think we're going to do coming up, because I've been like, Bridget, I want to do this book, is I think it's Cressley Cole's Immortals After Dark. Mm-hmm. Is that, even though I love that series, at a certain point it gets repetitive.
I like the Carpathians.
Yes.
Which I think the first one is called, I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. I think it's Sherilyn Kenyon. And her books are amazing, and so are, oh my god, I'm spacing on what the other author is who does the other series of like vampire and werewolf and demon books that I like. Well, that's Sherilyn Kenyon. Hold on. I'm going to Google it.
We have Nalini Sting, too. Doesn't she do the...
She does Christine Feehan. Oh my God, Christine, oh, yes. I apologize. I'm like, what's her name? I've read 30 of her books. Anyways, she does Carpathian's Vampires, and the woman is like the other half, the light of the man's soul, and like rescues him from a gray world and sadness. And they're great. They're great. Yeah. You should read them.
I love, you know, so I read romance to escape, right? So This is particularly why, like, I don't enjoy social justice themes in my books, because, like, I live social justice in real life. I want to go into a book and I want to forget it exists. I want to be with vampires and werewolves and fairy and all sorts of, you know, mythical creatures, and not have to worry about, you know, having a trigger warning, which is one of the number one things that we've been talking about on the podcast, is that we've read romance novels and we're straight into sexual assaults and all this trauma and things like that, which, like, having experienced it in my past, I don't want to read about it in my romance novel. I just want to have all the feel goods. And where I get on my soapbox, okay, is when romance novels don't have any sex in them. Let me tell you right now, I'm not about this fade to black nonsense. I've come in here, we've committed to each other, okay, authors? Give us a sex scene. We want it.
Yeah. Like, if I didn't want to read sex scenes, I'd just read fiction.
Yes.
I'd just read a fiction. I mean, there's plenty of books that are just in the fiction section, which have a, you know, a love story as the heart of the book. But if it's a romance novel, I expect to hear a little bit about licking,
throbbing,
and sucking.
Throbbing phallus.
Yeah. I want to know somebody's inside somebody else. I want to know where. I want to know how much. I want to know who's in, what's it, who said what. Who said what? I love dirty talk. I need to know who said what, to whom, at what time, and where was it, and when did, oh my, I need it. Need it.
Definitely.
I love it. Yeah, I am one of those people who pick top books or, like, when their review says, too much like me, indecent, and I'm like, one star. It's a one star review. I'm like, that's the book that I'm gonna buy.
Yeah. Or like, why are you people picking, it's a romance novel. If you don't want to sex, like, go read other genres of book. Like, I don't understand. I think that's actually really does a disservice to an author, because you're going in knowing it's a romance novel, and to say, like, oh, it's indecent, it's like, well, duh, the fuck did you think was gonna happen? It's a romance novel. Like, of course you're gonna have sex at some point. And I feel like you should really, like, or, like, know your genre. Like, okay, no, for sure, I should only read maybe these certain authors, because they do more sort of, like, rom-com-y, fade to black sort of style. I don't know. I think that's rude. I think that's too, that would be like me going and reading, like, a historical biography and being like, it was 800 pages about someone I didn't care about. One star. What?
Yeah. It's so weird, because I remember getting, when I was much younger, the books kept escalating in sex for me. So I read Danielle Steele, and I'm looking back, it wasn't that steamy, whatever. But it was steamy for me, and it, like, as a middle schooler, I was like, oh, parts are tingling that I never knew before, you know? And, like, when I got older and I'd go to the library, I found books that were just graphic, you know? They were romance novels, but they were graphic, and I would photocopy the pages so I could take them home and stuff like that. And Bridget calls me a savage because I used to steal the sex scenes out of books.
She used to rip them out of the books. And take them from the library and take them home.
Oh my God, you're a savage.
Thank you. See, it's not just me, Shawnee. That is insane behavior. It's criminal.
Listen, I had like a super strict mom, and I had to work around, like, everything in my house. Like, we were, like, the sneakiest kids to do just regular stuff because of how much we had to work around those types of things. And it's, I don't know, it's just, like, I forgot what my point was.
I don't know what your point was either. You shouldn't have brought up your felonies.
Oh my God.
But definitely, like, I enjoy romance. I enjoy getting into it. I enjoy, that's what it was. I remember taking home a Debbie McComber book in high school. And realizing that there was, like, no sex in this book. It was very, like, gentle romance. And I remember throwing this book across the room to the other wall. I was like, what is this bullshit? You know, but if you don't want to read sex and romance, I mean, there's all those religious romance books too, that they're not religious in nature, actually. But they definitely stop the line at certain parts. You know, they only go a courting and then a marrying.
Yeah.
You know, so like, yeah, but when you have a hot, sexy guy in the cover and you don't give me a sexy, I'm definitely not your friend anymore.
Yeah, I feel you. So let's talk about romance. So Bridget, what kind of romance do you enjoy the most? And what have been some of your favorite books that you read this year?
So genre-wise, I would definitely say paranormal is my favorite. On the podcast, we did the Black Dagger Brotherhood, like Shawnee mentioned. And our favorites were Lover Awaken, which is Bella and Sadist, Lover Revenge, which was Revenge, and Lover Mine, which was Zex and John Matthew.
That book was hot.
And then recently I just read Heatstroke by Tessa Bailey, which was my favorite book, hands down, of season 3. I loved it so much. Everyone needs to go read Heatstroke immediately. It's in a trilogy. It's $2.99 on Amazon. It's great. And we also read Well Met by Jen DeLuca, which was like super sweet and funny. And we're interviewing her this week, and we're super excited about that and her second book to come out.
And my favorite was actually the first book we read. Mm-hmm. We read Scarlet Peckham in season 1. And I thought it was spectacular. I had just started my kink journey, so it was like I got to read historical, my favorite genre with kink. And I was like, I was a kid in the freaking candy store. And then, so she wrote The Duke I Tempted, and then she recently published The Rake Ass with Avon, but she tells us that she's going to keep doing her indies, which I really hope she does, because she has great control over what she's producing, and she doesn't need a bigger, you know, company to help her, so I hope that she does, so that she can keep her voice, like, purely her voice. Yeah.
So I interviewed her a few weeks ago. So the interview went live, and I'll link it to the show notes. But she likes self-publishing. So The Rakes is still going to be a series, and I love how she negotiated, because The Rakes was like pretty out there book to be traditionally published. But there's going to be a book 4 in the Charlotte Street series. It's going to be Elena, I think, or like the.
Oh. Elania or something like that. I think her name is.
Yeah, so the kink master.
The woman who runs the kink house.
Yeah, so she's getting
a book. That's right.
Getting a book. So I think she likes the self-publishing. She likes the freedom of self-publishing. So I think she's just going to be a hybrid, you know, author, which is great. So
I think it's the best way to go.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, more and more people are open to it. I love that the barrier to entry for people is much lower, so that we can get all these different voices in before where, you know, like you were only seeing the authors that were picked by traditional publishing, and that was front and center, and that, those were your only options, you know. And so now we have so many more options, where sometimes I actually get a little bit annoyed, because it's like a thing. It's like a weird thing. I'm happy the bar is lower, but because the bar is lower, you have to sort through a whole bunch of bad books as well. And I think readers are reading much more bad books. They're reading. I don't know if that was a good sentence I just put together there, but and so their expectations are actually lower. So when a book gets 5 stars on Goodreads and we read it and we're like, this is definitely like a 1, like a hard 1, you know. But we have to remember that readers are at different points in their reading journey, and this might be their Danielle Steele. This might be their sexiest book they ever read, you know, and the most sophisticated thing that they have ever read. So it's interesting, because I do feel like I have to sort through a lot more noise to find those authors that I'm like, wow, that's amazing, you know, what you do. Also to your question about like what books I like. So Bridget and I, I specifically like secret baby tropes, by the way. However, with a caveat, right? So if there's a secret baby, then it's a second chance romance. But Bridget and I don't like second chance romance. I only like them if there's a secret baby. There better be a secret baby. Oh, and we love menage, right? So like Bridget and I are, Bridget loves love triangles. I don't. However, I just say include everybody. It's a throuple. We're having a menage. And look, everybody's happy.
I love throuples. I just, first of all, I love the word. Secondly, I just, like, when it's done really well and each part of the throuple has its own throuple. I was going to say triad, but then I said tried to say throuple and it all went together. Like, I love when they each have a really well-defined and different relationship to each other. So it's like they work sort of individually, but then they also work as a group. I think, like, when it's done really well, we read Pink Slip, and I loved it so much. Shawnee was a little more iffy, but she also did not listen to it like she normally does. She had to read it. So I think that lowered her review by at least a star. Anyways, I think it's a fun one.
Yeah. Bridget's referring to the fact that I can no longer read physical books. Like, mm-hmm. something, I've been listening to audiobooks for so long, and also, like, I have astigmatism in my eyes, and I think my eyes have just gotten worse over the years of not reading, so I have a hard time tracking. And so every time we pick a book that's a physical thing that I have to read on Kindle or something like that, it's just so difficult. I have to read and reread and reread and go back and try to read again in order to, like, consume what's happening, so I don't get the free flow of a story per se like I would if I were just to listen to it. So that was a new development that I didn't know was a thing.
So speaking of audiobooks, what have been some of your favorite ones you listened to this year?
Ooh, every book I've listened to minus two, I think, was an audiobook. I will say that I just read The Duke and I, for the Bridgerton series. I just finished that. We're going to do a review on that for our historical season. And the narrator, since I've actually listened to this book before, but it was in 2016, the last time I did, like, the sweet, sweet sound of that narrator telling that story was so reminiscent, like, for me, that I was just like, oh, hello, friends.
Like a warm blanket and comfort food all wrapped together.
Yeah, you forget that when you, it's the same thing with like Stephen Fry for the Harry Potter series. When you hear his voice, he's so good and he's telling you a story that you love to hear that you don't realize that your brain marks that voice as just a comfort. And so that was actually a pleasant surprise when his voice came on and I was like, oh, hello. Nice to hear you again, or whatnot. So that was definitely a good one. Off the top of my head, I can't really think about who I really love. I did love the narrator for Sonali Dev's Recipe for Persuasion. That was a great narrator. I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but I rarely remember anyone's name. But yeah, there's been quite a few. There have been quite a few bad ones. That I came to do the podcast with Bridget, and I was like, look, I think I didn't like this book because the narrator was terrible. And I wasn't the only one, because when I looked at the reviews, they were like, what happened? Why did he read the women like they were some weird...
Yeah, the Unhoneymooners is one of those. The Unhoneymooners by Christina Lauren. I liked that book, and Shawnee came in and was like, yeah, but he was such a bro. And I was like, who was? She's like, the main guy. And I was like, no, he wasn't. She's like, yes, he was. And I was like, what book did you read? And it turned out that the delivery of the narrator made him sound like all of his lines sound very bro-y and very like not very warm. He sounded like a douche, yeah. And not very warm. But when you read him, he's very warm and he's like, and it's like his brother who's the bad guy and sort of that douchey bro character. So it was very interesting because she was like, oh yeah, that's not at all the book I read then, because it's complete like with someone else's inflection. So that's one where definitely you should read it. Do not listen to The Unhoneymooners.
Yeah, and it's weird because like, so I produced audiobooks for a while, and you know, there's certain like protocols that you are supposed to do, right? So you whenever you link up with your producer, they produce the audiobook and the author goes down and listens to it. Also, the author ahead of time is supposed to give you all the pronunciations for everything. If there's something you don't know how to pronounce or whatever, you'd contact the author or their publishing company to get all of those specifications. But I realized over time that the more, I froze.
Hold on. You're good. We can hear you.
Okay. Everything froze for a minute for me. But I realized over time that the authors or nobody was actually quality control checking the work. And so things were slipping through that shouldn't slip through. And so I'm kind of wondering, like, are these authors listening to the narrator or are they only listening to a sample and then trusting for the best?
I think they're trusting because they don't get the, because they're not producing it. So they don't, a lot of times they just get the, because the authors that we talked to have said that they just get the, oh, here are the four options and they choose the one they like the best. And then a lot of times they don't even get, you know, told that there's an audiobook until they get sent, here's the audiobook and it's finished. So even if they did want to change something, it's too late. Which you probably could negotiate into your contract if you had like the wherewithal to A, think about it and the clout to demand it. But I feel like when at the beginning, when you're negotiating your contracts, most authors probably don't have that.
Some of those older authors, they said that they didn't, they had it written into their contract that there might be an audio, but it wasn't like an expected thing. And now that audio has been a thing, you know, their older books are just made into audio and they don't really have much of a say in it because they don't own the rights necessarily for that.
This is so interesting. I love talking about audiobooks, you know. It's something that I'm, like, curious about it, and just, like, as I explore more and more, like, it makes a difference, so.
Do you ever listen to audiobooks?
I do. I actually had jobs where I had menial tasks, and so it allowed me to listen to an audiobook and just kind of, like, just getting through the tasks, and so I just finished our contract, and I mainly listened to audiobooks. So I was listening to the Virgin River series, because it was like, it's an escape, and it was just easy to read, and it was just like, just easy to get lost, like, allow me to just be part of, but it's not, it was one of those series where it's like, I could miss certain things and be okay with it. I think that's my issue with audiobooks, is like, sometimes my attention span is like, I'm over somewhere else, and I'm like, oh, hold on, I'm missing something, so.
I think, though, that, like, I know exactly what you're talking about, because, like, I'll listen to an audiobook while I'm editing or while I'm doing something else, and then I'll be like, what just happened in the last 3 minutes, you know? But the same thing happens when you're reading a physical book. Mm-hmm. Like, you end up scanning a lot of, you know, what's going on. That's why I think authors need to write way less description of the world in their book, because as soon as they go into description mode, my brain goes, oh, I can check out now.
Yeah, so just I just read dialogue, and I'm like, dialogue, and then just kind of like skip it over.
So. Yeah, or just action. You know, like, it doesn't even need to be dialogue. It just, I want to be reading about actions that are happening, not necessarily the description of what the grass looks like, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can read J.R.R. Tolkien if you want a description of grass. You don't need romance novels for that.
Yeah. get me to the meat, man. Get me to the meat.
The man meat.
That's what I'm saying, Bridget. You know what I'm saying?
So what are some of your most anticipated new releases for 2020?
It's so funny because when we were looking into this, we were both like, we're not readers who are constantly like anticipating. I mean, I read so many books a year that I am not like, oh, I can't wait until September because XYZ book. There are a very few authors, and they're more so in like the fantasy world where I feel like that, because like the world building, I like want to go back into that world per se. Mm-hmm. But we did think about it and look it up. And so one of mine is Take a Hint, Danny Brown. Mm-hmm. I just finished Get a Life, Chloe Brown, and I loved it so much. So I'm excited for that one.
We were recommended Daring and the Duke by Christina Lauren, and I think also Sonali told us to read that one as well. So that one I'm looking forward to. It's a historical.
Yeah, and In the Holidays just sounds super cute. So I'll be reading that one when it comes out as well.
It's cool. Like Bridget.
Did you read it already?
I did. I read it already. Yeah, I'm interviewing Christina Loren, so I got to read it. And it's cute. It's a Christina Loren, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's cute. It's holiday season, family time. It's just really cute.
Okay, that's right. We had a hard time last year finding like the right like holiday book. We discovered that apparently Christmas is time for people who are divorced or have a baby, and it's a second chance at love.
A lot of second chances at love.
Every book was like, was that when we were trying to search for books, and we were just, what is it like that old, like divorcees and single moms, they only can find love at Christmas. No other only time of the Christmas. Year. Christmas,
the most magical time of the year, Johnny.
it's like you need magic to find love if you're one of those things. It was like this kind of sad when
I was very weird.
What's going on here? You know, but like Bridget said, like I generally don't, I'm not anticipating books. When I was younger, I would say that I did because I had time to anticipate a book. You know, I had way more time to read, but I, outside of the podcast, I produce a lot of music, and Bridget and I produce other content, and we just have more things going on. You know, Bridget has two kids. It's hard to anticipate books to me, I think, when you just have other stuff to do. And I'm so far behind in the books that I already want to read that are already out that I don't need to anticipate it. I can just open my wish list and I have like 500 books in there just waiting to be read.
Do you find that because you can't go, I mean, you, I guess, do audio, so maybe it's not you, but Laura, if you go into stores, like, I used to love to just go to Barnes & Noble and check out all the new release hardcovers, see what was there, if I knew an author, if I wanted to check one out. So I was, like, more sort of in the swing, and not that I can't, like, set an alert, and I do get emails from Goodreads about, like, new releases and stuff, but I don't find it has the same, like, immediacy or excitement as it does when you're in a store, even like Target, and you're like, oh, I haven't read this book, I didn't know it was out, and you're like, hooray, I'm getting it today. Like, that feeling, you just, I mean, I recently just got like a lot of book mail, some of it for my child and some of it for me, and like that was kind of fun because it was like, oh, a new book, I forgot I ordered this last week. But it's just not the same. It's just like going through a bookstore with like a tower of books in your arms and being like, can you hold these at the front? I'm not finished shopping. Thank you. I'm just like wandering the aisles. Like, that is my shit. So,
is a question though, is Barnes & Noble closed? Like, every Barnes & Noble that used to be around my parents' house, because I'm quarantined here right now, is gone? And it's like, are they like, did they go out of business? Look, what's happening?
No, they're still around. They're doing revamping it. I guess they were bought by Waterstones or CEO or something like that. So they're revamping the stores. They're doing more books now as opposed to less games. Because the Barnes & Noble that were going around were more games, more like Legos and like all these different things that were like not books related, but I think they're going back to basics.
Because like Barnes & Noble was, you know, that was the place I was allowed to go as a kid. So like my best friend and I would bring blankets, we'd lay in the romance aisle and like just
me and my sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like sort through books, pass them back and forth. Or we'd play this game of like what celebrity is that? Where you take a romance novel and you don't show the other person the cover, and then you show them the cover really fast, right? So they look at it for 3 seconds or less. And then you pull it back and be like, who is that? It's like, is that, and they're like, Jake Gyllenhaal. And they're like, no, it's Denzel, which that's not a good example, but you
got it's Denzel. It's a black man.
but like all of those covers, if they weren't an actual model, they were based off of or drawings that were supposed to, like, I think they actually use celebrities of some sort to kind of design them. So, like, you could look at the covers, and at a certain angle, it would look like a specific celebrity. So, we used to always play that game. Like, who's this? Okay.
I love that game. That sounds like fun. Tell us where we can find you online.
Our website is romanceataglance.com, which has every link that you could ever need to see where we are. It's got podcasts. You can listen to it. You can find us on social.
Yeah, and then you can find us on Twitter, romance at glance, because apparently the A made it too many letters, so we couldn't have romance at a glance. So romance at glance on Twitter. And then on Instagram, we are romance at a glance. And we are always on there. We are always on there talking shit with everybody. We are living our best lives. We're swapping wrecks and hanging out with all our romance besties. And I love the romance world. Mm-hmm. I love the book reading world that is out there and the people who are in it. They're some of the coolest people ever.
Yeah, we've been having so much fun.
Yeah. And so it's almost like, I feel a lot of times like, I wish we had done this sooner because... Mm. Like, we're like, well, we missed our calling and our people, look at all our people.
Yeah.
These are our people out here, you know? And I think that's the greatest thing that's happened for us in this process. It's just like, this experience has been a really beautiful one.
Yeah, and then also just wherever you listen to podcasts, you can just search Romance at a Glance and we will pop right up. You'll see our little BB chibis.
Yep.
Love it. Thank you, Shani and Bridget, for the recommendations.
Well, thank you for having us on the show. So fun. You popped our cherry. This is our first time being guests together on someone else's podcast.
Yes, I'm very excited about this.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.